This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. Respected brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I would like to ask you a question. What are you really excited by these days? You could be excited by food. You could be excited by a upcoming holiday. You could be getting married soon. You could be excited by that. You could be graduating soon, or some family event taking place. Or you might be excited about a football match that's taking place between Liverpool and Manchester City, for example. Or you might be excited by a boxing match between, I don't really know who, this Khabib and then this Joshua and who was, you know, you might be excited by some, you know, that's your entertainment. Different people like to get excited by different things. If you're a bit religious and a bit more practicing, a bit connected to deen, connected with Islamic knowledge, then maybe you're very excited by debates. We are currently living in a time, and I feel that it is a calamity, it's a sad situation and calamity of the era, that the only excitement certain Muslims get from the deen, and for some people this is their only involvement when it comes to deen. This is their only involvement. So, there might be some other involvement, but it's a very brief type of involvement, is that they like to get embroiled and involved in controversies, in polemics, in debates, in refutations, counter-refutations, in people arguing. This is the only buzz that some of our young people especially receive and obtain from deen and from religion, sadly. And we are living in this current climate, and this is why I thought I'll mention this, that I seriously feel that we need to think where our priorities are. Here, first of all, I'm not really talking about the people who actually debate. I am talking about me and you, the general public, the general masses, first and foremost. That for us, our deen becomes so boring. Praying, fasting, zakat, you know, fulfilling the rights of Allah and fulfilling the rights of His servants, serving the deen, doing beneficial, positive things, spending time in the worship of Allah, trying to recite the Quran and understand the Quran, reading some books, or attending lectures about Islamic rulings. We think these things are boring. Our excitement is with this is sadly a nature, human nature. We get excited, get the buzz from argumentations, all these different polemical argumentations and quarrels and fights and disputes that take place between all the various groups. And I don't even like to mention the names, but like, you know, the Deobandi and the Barelvi and the Sufi and the Salafi and the Ash'ari and Maturidi, the never-ending debates. It seems that some of us are hooked on these quarrels. We thrive on it. You know, so many of us love the drama. It's like a never-ending soap opera. We're waiting for the next episode. Oh, who challenged who? People get excited. Oh, did you see that debate? I was in another country once, in America or Canada, and people, the first thing they're asking me, oh, did you know, in your country, in England, did you see that debate? Or wait, do you know about that debate? I said, there's more important things in Islam than who debates who. I couldn't care less with who debates who. So we get excited by, you know, this scholar, this sheikh challenging this person. The only discussion is about, oh, did you see that debate and who won the debate? It's like, you know, the entertainment we get from a football match, a football rivalry. You know, there are Liverpool fans, Manchester United fans, people, you know, this is the discussion that people do. But this is with a religious flavor. It's a boxing match. You know, people have their own sort of cults or their own rivalry and the old side. This is my sheikh or my group. And it's a human nature. You know, It's the nature of the human that you need to fulfill that aspect of your nature. So with a religious flavor, it's the same type of enjoyment that people get from football rivalries or boxing matches. Sadly, many of us are less interested in day-to-day rules of Islam. Have an arranger course on the fiqh of fasting, handful of people. Write something about the prohibition of backbiting or the benefits of reciting salawat on the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Or, you know, these aspects of deen, even on social media, if we write on Facebook things about, you know, rights of Allah, rights of the slaves of Allah, you know, very few people like the message or comment. Just put one message about, oh, this group or this scholar or this refutation, and you've got tons of people commenting and debating and, you know, giving their two pence to it. Social media is a mass. It's filled with these controversies. No, it's sad that, you know, sometimes there'll be one person, one scholar or one person or one individual, he will write a post about his refutation and argumentation with this group or that scholar, and there'll be so many people commenting, you know, some for, some against, some praising, some hating, and then they start bickering amongst themselves as well underneath. No, no, you're wrong and you're right. This, and it's just for 2-3 days, it's just like comments after comments. I mean, I don't read this, but I know that this happens. It's just wastage of time. And then the other group, that other sheikh or the other group, he will also post a counter refutation, and then all his fans, yeah, all his followers, they will comment, and there'll be for and against, and somebody will be undercover from here putting a comment there, and there'll be somebody undercover from there putting a comment here. It's just never ending arguments, never ending soap opera that continues, and it's just a fitna of the time. Seriously, we're really wasting our time with these things. And this is my advice for the general public, that's, let's not get involved in these debates or these polemical refutation and argumentations and quarrels and disputes that take place. Value your time, spend it in positive things, in worshipping Allah, getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, getting close to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Learn your deen, practice your deen, offer your 5-time prayers. You might be arguing and debating late night, and then you don't offer Fajr Salah in the morning in congregation. Spend time in worshipping Allah, bettering yourself as a Muslim, as a human being, good characteristics. We don't even have enough time to work on ourselves, our hearts, our inner selves, and be better people. We need to spend more time on that, not waste time in being, you know, entertained by these religious rivalries. Really, we need to look at this. You know, sometimes what happens is that after these debates, people continue commentating on the debates, and then there's like versions of who won the debate. There's a debate about who won the debate. So the group, the followers of this sheikh or this group will say they won. They will release a video that no, we won, our sheikh won, and then they'll swear and all sorts. So this is my sincere advice for general public. At least don't do, if you don't want to do all the positive things, then at least don't do the negative things. Stop adding fuel to the fire. I personally think that just do not watch these debates. If you stop watching them, the people who are debating, they'll stop doing the debates openly in front of the people because they've got an audience. Some people just do the debates because they know they'll get more YouTube clicks. So, more money. You know, they like to talk about controversial issues because they know that people are sensationalists. They like something which is controversial. You know, put a YouTube video and say, Sheikh such and such exposed, massive cross, don't listen. This Sheikh has become a kafir. Oh yes, he has so many clicks. Put a YouTube video clip. Offer salah with khushu' concentration. Oh, boring Islam. Offering salah with concentration. Exposed, Barelvi kafir, Deobandi, you know, kafir, the Shia, you know, and it's like, you know, everyone is entertained by it. And this is why there's an audience, and I sincerely advise people that stop being an audience, stop being entertained, stop adding fuel to the fire. Just the people who are debating and arguing, let them just debate and carry on. You don't need to get involved. And if you stop being involved, then they will stop doing it. They'll probably do it in private because there's no audience. Right now, when there's an audience, then they will do it. When there's an audience for a sport, then people will charge amounts, high amounts for tickets, because they know people, whatever happens, it's something that sells. So, do not get involved in these debates. Don't talk about them. Don't discuss them. You work on your own self. We should work on our own selves and busy ourselves with ibadah, with working on our own selves. We all have flaws. And in terms of religious matters, identify those who you trust and learn your deen from them and get busy in action, busy in amal. This is more like a modern day issue because when I was young, when we were growing old, there was no social media, there's no like YouTube, there's no way you can see debates. You might hear a debate somewhere that's happening in the 10th of June somewhere up in Scotland, so people will send a letter or something and there might be an announcement or somebody told you and you'll hire a coach to go down there or something. I don't know, I've never been to one. But that was the closest somebody could attend a debate. Now it's like a click of a button, YouTube and everywhere. And so because of that, the fitna is great. And we really need to seriously think where our priorities lie. This was my message just to the general public, all of us. I also have a message for those people who debate, who are actually involved in the debating. People who like to debate about religious matters, about polemical matters, about issues of aqidah, about different groups, Sufi, Salafi, Deobandi, Wahhabi, Barelwi, whatever, Shia, Sunni, whatever. Different debates. And very respectfully, I will say, because many are connected to ilm and sacred knowledge, that we really need to think that, is there real serious benefit in these debates? Have you really thought about it? Whether there's more harm or is there more benefit? If the benefits outweigh the harms, then maybe you should go and debate in front of the public. But have we really thought that are the benefits outweighing the harm? And I think even if there's a considerable amount of harm, then we should avoid it. But in this case, I personally feel that the harm is outweighing the benefit. The Quran prohibited alcohol, وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْعِهِمَا. Even alcohol had a bit of benefit. The Quran says there's a bit of benefit in drinking wine, whiskey, brandy, alcohol. But, and even, وَإِثْمُهُمَا, referring to, is gambling, right? Yes. أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْعِهِمَا. So, a bit of benefit, but harm is much more. The Quran prohibited it. So, this is something that we seriously need to think. And this is why many scholars actually they seriously reprimanded against, or cautioned, sorry, that's the word I'm looking for, cautioned against religious debates. You might say, but there's a bit of debate, and this person, Imam Abu Hanifa, debated non-Muslims. Even with non-Muslim debating, there's laws and etiquettes and adab. Ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah wal maw'idhati al hasana. With wisdom, call towards, invite towards your Lord. But I'm not talking about non-Muslims here. Muslims of different backgrounds, you have a different opinion or whatever, aqidah issue. So people bring up that, oh, but didn't this sheikh or this person in history, didn't they debate? They debated. And there's a massive difference. This is why one of the recent scholars of the subcontinent, one of the great scholars, Hakim al-Ummah, Sheikh Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani, rahimahullah, he's briefly wrote about debating. Because he looked at, in his time, and this was like good, maybe 70, 80 years ago, more than 70, 80, 100 years ago. And he wrote, the article is online. One of my friends, known as Sheikh Javed Iqbal, he actually translated this. It's available online, and I've got it here. The Harms of Polemical Debating in Today's Era. It's taken from one of his books, Bawadir and Nawadir. I won't read all of this, but he says, debating with respect to its objective. So what's the objective of debating? Debating is of few types. And then he mentioned 1, 2, 3, 4. Just to summarize, he said the first situation, or the first type, in terms of the objective of debating, to make evident what is right. So your objective is that you want to make what is correct and haq, you think it's the truth, you want to make that apparent and evident to the people. Even if the opponent does not go quiet, in which case the debater will not concern himself with silencing him. So he will not concern that whether that person is silenced or not, or you know, you won the debate or not. That's not his objective. Therefore, when you see, when this person sees that the other person is stubborn, then he just says, "Look, for us are our deeds, for you are your deeds. Lakum dinukum wa liya din, lakum a'malukum wa lakum wa lana a'maluna." And you just move away. And the Quran is filled with this type of debate. And this is why Sheikh Mawlana Shaytan rahimahullah, he called this, he said, "Al-munafara an muta'araf al-munadara." Munafara, like showing resentment or dislike, nafra, dislike towards the munadara. In Arabic, you call debating munadara. So the muta'araf al-munadara, the common munadara that takes place. And then he says, then he goes to the second type, to silence the opponent. This is also praiseworthy, provided the intention is good. However, this is dependent on the opponent becoming silent. If he is stubborn or a troublemaker and does not have any shame, he will not be quiet. So therefore, he will not be silent. So this is like, it's not going to work. So therefore, intending this objective is to intend something which you have no power over. And therefore, this is something, you know, it's not going to happen. So even this debate, type of debate, is out of the question. And then he mentions a third one, that to silence the opponent, and then this is actually achieved. However, because becoming silent is not proof that this person who is totally silenced is wrong, this is also futile. What he's trying to say, and this is actually a very important point, because you know, one of the problems with debating is that people think the victory is based on who spoke well. You know, when two people are debating, one person speaks well, it doesn't mean that he speaks well, that he is on the truth. People will make the decision based on, you know, some people have the gift of the gob, they are able to speak. You could have a non-Muslim winning a debate against a Muslim because he spoke well. He just knows how to converse very well, spoken. There's a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, once he gave a decision, I can't recall it exactly, in favor of somebody. And then he said, look, when you come to me, you know, you speak the way you speak sometimes, apparently. So the audience will look at who's speaking well. So anyway, he mentions these four. You can read when we can put the link, inshallah, at the bottom of the video, that there is really no benefit of debating in our times. And he also said the way debates are conducted today is not from the way of the Salaf. The Quran debates with the disbelievers in many places, but its style is amazing. It is nothing like the noisy quarrels of today. Hakim ul-Ummah says, in today's era, debating is extremely harmful because it has no praiseworthy objective behind it. The objective is predominantly to disgrace the opponent and show one's own point to be superior. The objective is not to establish truth. So this is why, in this day and age, you know, there's the harms outweigh the benefits. And seriously, you know, like I said, in Arabic, debating is called munadara. One of my teachers, Mufti Taqi Uthmani Hafidhullah, I heard this from him in one of the lessons that he mentioned this. And it's actually written about this as well. He says, munadara is from the Arabic word nadar. Nadar means to study something, to look into something. And in Arabic, munadara is bab mufa'ala. When two people collectively, al-musharaka fil fikri wa nadar. Two people are participating. So it's like a dialogue. It's like a discussion. It's supposed to be, if it's a munadara, then munadara means, okay, this is your opinion, this is mine. Okay, so when you say this, I have an objection, ishkal, on this, that what about this dalil that counters this? So the other person says, yeah, that dalil, but my understanding of that dalil is that maybe this counters that dalil. What do you think? You know, it's like a nice cordial discussion. If you look at today's debates, absolutely contrary. Especially look at some of the debates. Don't look at, but you know, some of the debates on subcontinent. Just type the word munadara on YouTube, and seriously, some of the craziest debates, so-called debates, that take place in the Indian subcontinent, especially in Pakistan, but maybe in India and Bangladesh as well, where people are raising their voices, quarreling, shouting, screaming, pulling books, you know, give me Sahih al-Bukhari, you know, this text and this evidence. And I've seen places where people have actually ripped pages from books. And there's places where there's physical violence. Where is the justification for that? Craziness, absolute craziness. Where are the etiquettes, the manners and adab of conversing with anyone? One of the etiquettes is do not cut someone else in the midst of their conversation. وَلَا تَقْطَعْ كَلَامَ الْآخَرِينَ. Read Min Adab al-Islam of Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullah. This has to be applied even in a debate. When someone's speaking, you can't cut off that person. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ. That's in the Quran as well. لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ. But generally, his seerah was لَمْ يَكُنْ صَخَابًا. Shouting, screaming, quarreling. These etiquettes are not observed. Talking over each other, fighting, pulling of books, name calling, calling each other jahil and ignorant and fasiq. And you know, the problem is that it becomes more personal and ego based. It's invoked by ego. You know, the person who's debating, because we are all humans, when you're in debating, majority of the time, and I'm not trying to question anyone's intention, but it seems, apparently, all these debates, that it's more personal. The person feels that I shouldn't be disrespected, or I shouldn't be looked down upon. More concerned about personal victory. So it's not about the truth being manifest. Look, I'll tell you, these are some quotes. Look, Imam Shafi'i, radiallahu anhu, and warda. It's related from Imam Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah. He says, there's many quotes from him, but I'll just read one or two quotes. He says, مَا كَلَّمْتُ أَحَدًا قَطُّ إِلَّا وَلَمْ أُبَالِي بَيَّنَ اللَّهُ الْحَقَّ عَلَى لِسَانِهِ. I never spoke or had a dialogue with anyone, except that I don't care, Allah brings the truth on my tongue or on his tongue. It doesn't really matter. So the objective is for the truth to come out. This is in Al-Faqih Al-Mutafaqih. Look at this quote. Imam Shafi'i says, مَا نَظَرْتُ أَحَدًا قَطُّ عَلَى الْغَلَبَ. I've never debated anyone to have a victory. مَا نَظَرْتُ أَحَدًا قَطُّ فَأَحْبَبْتُ أَنْ يُخْتِيَ. I've never debated anyone, it's not even debate, dialogue, and I wanted that person to be in mistake and error. And there's another quote which I heard from Mufti Taqi Uthmani, directly in one of his lessons, but I couldn't recall the reference when I searched for it. He said, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah said, "Ma nazartu ahadan," when illa, I never debated anyone except that I wanted the truth to come on his tongue. I wanted him to be victorious and me to lose, because the objective is, because I'm scared about myself, that if I win, and what about if I'm wrong, then people will follow me. So I want me to be proven wrong, so that then, okay, the evidences are for his side, and then he is actually on the truth, and then at least people follow him, and he takes the responsibility. This was the debate, these were the type of debates, or discussions, and dialogues the Salaf did. Does anybody go in a debate today that, yeah, I don't care, whether I lose or win, just, you know, with sincerity? It's ego-based. It's about personal victory. It's about, like, you know, I don't want to be disrespected. You know, my knowledge, people should see, you know, I can talk and I can challenge and I have all the knowledge. I have this book and I've just read that book. And it's, you know, that's how it comes across. So, anyway, concluding, so I was saying that Mufti Taqi Uthmani Hafidhahullah, he mentioned in that the word munadara is like musharaka. It's just a mutual dialogue. It's like a discussion that we do. This is a quote from one of his books, Mufti Taqi Uthmani. He says, due to our misfortune, the impression we have of debates these days is that it refers to a sectarian battleground where two headstrong wrestlers seize every just and unjust tactic. So you use any just or unjust tactic to try and bring down the other person. And in the middle of all of this, the urge to seek the truth is left behind and suppressed. Then he says, Mufti Taqi Uthmani Hafidhahullah, Munadhara is an Arabic word, the meaning of which is to collectively ponder over a particular issue. Have a cup of coffee and have a discussion. Just collectively, let's just study it, no problem. So that's the real munadhara or debate or dialogue or discussion. So this is why debating these days, seriously, there's more harm than benefit, because it's become personal, ego-based. The etiquettes of conversing are overlooked. The adab are not observed. The manners of interaction are not observed. And sometimes, you know, I've seen also people do some things which are unlawful, like swearing, slandering, and talking. But I've even seen some people recording phone calls without telling the other person that you're recording their phone conversation. Is that even allowed? And then putting it up on YouTube. I've seen this so many times, even in the subcontinent, where this Tabligh Jama'ah people, they're arguing and debating, and you know, so they provoke. People call certain scholars, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, I am brother such and such, I need to ask you a masala question. And then he's recording and just, you know, trying to, you know, subhanAllah, like creating fitna. It's like, you know, you've got some mental health issue or what? Like, you know, it's just, you know, they just want friction, or some, like, you know, people want to just fight and quarrel and bring fitna into the world. So this is not allowed. Language used sometimes is haram. Language is used. Sometimes people say, but look, you know, those people, they're doing this, so why don't we do that? Well, two wrongs don't make a right. If someone is debating using foul language, or if somebody is refuting you or your group or your teachers or your scholars, swearing, slandering, you don't have to get low to that level. This was the way of all the prophets. They were called Majnoon. They used to say, you know, I'm not Majnoon, oh my people. What's the ayah of the Quran? لَيْسَ بِي سَفَاهَةٌ وَلَكِنَّ رَسُولٌ مِّن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. The people of the prophets, they used to say, you're Majnoon, or you're this. And they never responded with swearing. They just say, look, this is how it is, and, you know, end of story. Our Salaf, same thing. There was a scholar from the subcontinent who somebody called him that you're an illegitimate child. He said, oh, actually, you've got misinformation. My father and mother, they were married, and the witnesses are still alive. I can take you to them and see them and meet them, so you can, you know, just find out for yourself if I'm illegitimate or legitimate child. Rather than say, no, you and your dad is also legitimate, illegitimate. Like, this is how people, out of anger, would do. All the prophets, this is how the da'wah was. So you can refute, you can respond, but responding according to your way, not according to their way. So anyway, concluding, these debates that take place, most of them turn out to be disasters. You've seen India, Pakistan, wherever, England, wherever they take place, mostly they involve haram activities, because there's quarreling, shouting, raising of voices, disrespecting, hurting the feelings of others. Because all these rules, they are necessary to follow whether you're in the marketplace or whether you're having a religious debate. It doesn't mean that haram, those things no longer become necessary, or they're no longer haram and unlawful when you're having a religious dialogue. So because of that, and most of the time, they turn out to be disasters. Nobody really wins. Nobody really... the truth is never manifest. The people on this group will always stay on this group. The people on this group will always stay on this group. No one gets convinced by anybody. This is why these things should not be in the public. Scholars should privately, behind closed doors, have a discussion if you really want the truth for your own selves. So, lots of haram things take place. I heard sometimes some people bring some violent thugs with them as well. Can become violent, you know, it's crazy. And this is why Imam Malik rahimahullah wa radiya anhu used to say, Al-mira'u yudhibu nur al-ilm. Argumentation about matters of religion can take away the light of ilm and the light of knowledge. You know, I know a few scholars, and I've remembered one, Sheikh Manzoor Ahmed Nu'mani rahimahullah. He used to, before debate certain groups, towards the end of his life, he actually said that I really regret and I lament the fact that I spent so much of my time just debating and arguing with people from different groups. I wish I spent my time in just doing something else. And then he stopped doing that, and he started writing his famous commentary called Ma'ariful Hadith in many volumes. So when people are young, this happens to them, and that's why I personally feel that those of you who want to debate, either, you know, I feel that it's better that these should be discussed, number one, behind closed doors. Just have a nice discussion dialogue behind closed doors. The public don't need to see it. Or do it in written format, because only the intelligent people read, because nowadays that's a problem. Everyone views videos, but nobody reads. So people who are really interested academically, write an academic response. That's how people used to do. Write a book, write an article in an academic way. So it's not for the public. There's no drama. This is not like an arena. This is not a boxing match. This is not Wembley Stadium or whatever. So it's not a wrestling ground or a battleground. It's just an academic response. And as a last resort, maybe post a refutation in video format rather than sitting together and, you know, having a disaster. Okay, if you disagree with somebody, their views, you post a video that this is our view. But again, making sure, ensuring all the basic rules and etiquettes are observed. No slandering, no swearing, no looking down upon. Who knows, the other person is better than me. This is how we do da'wah. We always feel the other person is better than me. So with humility, that, you know, I disagree with this view of yours. But you feel inside that other person is better than you. Some of the scholars used to say that I feel every Muslim is better than me and every non-Muslim is potentially better than me. The way you're coming as a, you know, arrogant fashion, condescending fashion. It's like when we're talking, debating, we feel we're better than that person. It just appears. In a religious flavor, we feel we're better. So with humility, post a video. So these are the three ways, or three alternatives to debates. And this is an absolute last point, that when we do these debates, the majority of the general public, like I said, they just love the entertainment value to it. But what will happen, they will either be of the following. Four, very quickly. Number one, those that don't really understand what's going on. They don't even understand the words and the Arabic terms you're using, etc. All the intricate issues. They just enjoy and entertainment and have fun and get involved in haram because they're swearing, slandering, taking sides, rather than go and watch a football match. So, or just go and play some football, you know, play some tennis. It's better if you're going to do haram here. So majority of them don't really even understand what's going on. So your public audience will be of four types of people. Those who don't really understand anything, they just love the entertainment and get involved and start discussing and wasting their time and maybe do haram activities as well by swearing, slandering. Number two, those that get even more confused than they were before. They were, you know, nicely praying or doing something, but after the debate now they're really like confused. So you just cause them confusion. Number three, those that just laugh at both parties and think both are fools. Majority do that. They just think these like Maulvis are just fighting. You know, Mawlana Shaykh Thanvi rahimahullah mentions Hakim al-Ummah that in the subcontinent, the Hindus, they were so entertained by some Maulvis who were debating that they used to say, let's go to the place. This, where is it mentioned? I'll read the quote as well. It says here that on the day of the debate in Muradabad, Hakim al-Ummah says, there was so much noise about the debate that even the Hindus were saying, let's go to the Shahi Mosque to see the Maulvis fighting. The Hindus came to see the entertainment. So those that just laugh at both parties. And number four, and this is really serious, those that actually start doubting Islam itself. A few years ago, an individual told me that he left Islam, or he was close to leave Islam, and I think he said, yeah, I've left Islam, because he got so confused by all the bickering and fighting he saw between different groups, and this group fighting with this group, and this scholar refuting that scholar. And he said, I went there, then I came back to this side, then I went back there, and I thought this was right, and then I thought, you know what, it's just too confusing. And he became an atheist again. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So these are the four scenarios or four possibilities of your audience. Rather than that, don't do your debates in front of the public. Have a private dialogue. Or the other methods, if somebody is openly refuting your views or your scholars or whatever, then you can openly do a refutation video. But again, you don't have to stoop down to their level. Follow the prophetic way of hikmah, of wisdom, of good preaching, maw'idat al-hasana. hidayah and guidance in the hands of Allah. We don't have to like preach in a way that we have to turn everyone's minds to be like our mind or our... We do it for the sake of Allah. You get a reward. You can get a reward by doing something else. The idea is not everyone has to be swayed. You don't have to turn everyone. You do whatever you can, alhamdulillah. If it happens, if it happens. If it doesn't happen, you've got your reward. You'll go Jannah, inshallah, anyway. May Allah grant us a tawfiq. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.